3636.
Arizona News Radio. State Representative Ben Arredondo, a former Tempe City Councilman, pled not guilty to charges including bribery and attempted extortion. An FBI sting operation a few years ago resulted in the charges. His attorney, Lee Stein.
He's a good man, and that's going to all come out in court. This is not a case where you're going to see, you know, briefcases of cash and expensive watches and European vacations like in the Jack Abramoff-type cases.
Arizona's light rail system is set to expand to East Mesa. Groundbreaking ceremonies this morning. Mayor Scott Smith.
There were many people who said that hell would freeze over before light rail got to Mesa. And it did, and we are here.
And a Phoenix policeman was shot at last night as he pursued a man running from a South Phoenix convenience store. The suspect was apprehended, the officer not wounded. Bob Baker, Arizona News Radio.
This check of your KVNX traffic brought to you by the makers of Centrum. 4 o'clock hour, you're going to find some slowing southbound on I-17 between the 10 and 7th Street. Also, we have a collision Bell Road west of 83rd Avenue. Look for another wreck, Shea Boulevard west of 100th Street. We have an accident eastbound US 60 at Sossman. What quality ingredients backed by 30 years of science so you know that you're at your best? Centrum, always your most complete. Here is a look at your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, we wrap up the month of May tomorrow in a hot way, 107 degrees. And we bring in the month of June on Friday, 110. Upcoming weekend, a bit cooler, 103 to 104. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we're at 99 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds. You're up to date.
I'm 53 now. You know, I have a young son, and I want to take him vision. This cancer has changed so many lives. It's not worth it for one cigarette. Throw him down, walk away, call Ashline. Anybody that's going to quit needs some kind of help.
You can quit. Ashline can help. Call today, 1-800-556-6222, or visit ashline.org. It's free.
Do you want to reduce your utility bills and shrink your carbon footprint? You can with home weatherization projects that are easy and don't cost a bundle. Caulking around windows and weather stripping doors can lower your energy usage and put money in your pocket. To save even more, take advantage of the sun's warmth by keeping window coverings closed in the summer and open during colder months. For additional home weatherization information, visit southwestgasliving.com. This green tip is brought to you by Southwest Gas.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
And this is Dennis Willinchek on Legalese with Jack Willinchek and our new member of the bar here. And this week we have a great show in line in store for you, though. We're talking with Scottsdale Mayor Jim Lane, who was actually elected, I believe, in start his term in January of 2009. He's now had a few years on the job, and we'll be talking to him about all things Scottsdale today. By way of background, Mayor Lane came to Scottsdale from New Jersey in 1973 to work at KPMG, an international CPA firm, and was a CPA for some 20 years, and has also worked in public accounting and has since retired from that career, and was a member of the Scottsdale City Council before his term as mayor. And Mayor Lane, as we'll talk about this later, owned and operated various sundry different types of businesses. He is a businessman. And has been an adjunct professor of business and accounting at Scottsdale Community College and holds a Bachelor of Science degree in accounting. And he and his wife have three adult children, four grandchildren living here, I hope. But, yeah living here. And Mayor Lane, again, joins us today on Legalese to talk about economic recovery, business development issues in Scottsdale, tourism, the Scottsdale General Plan, the reforms that he's trying to institute, the financial condition of the city, transparency issues, business development. So we got a full plate, Mayor, and welcome to the show.
Well, thanks very much, Dennis. And Jack, it's nice to be here with you, too, and thank you very much. It's an honor to be here with you to talk about all things Scottsdale.
Right, same. So let's get into it. Now, you became mayor in January of 2009, as I said. What caused you to want to be mayor?
Well, it was not a lifelong ambition of any sort. I ended up getting involved in a couple of proposition initiatives and running some campaigns on some things. This is back in 2002 and 2004. And it somewhat piqued my interest, and some folks asked me, and I had got to a crossroads where I had sold some technology companies I owned at the time. My wife and I looked at each other, and at that time we lived in Scottsdale for 30-plus years, and we just said, hey, you know, maybe there's a time to dedicate to this. You know, you probably do know it's a little bit of a sacrifice when you're coming out of the business world, and so to take a little bit of time, we said, hey, just 4 years. And 4 years went by, and I realized that there probably was a bit more to be done, and that I felt very passionate.
Now, you must have enjoyed it, obviously, so it couldn't have been that torturous, right? Because
No, it wasn't torturous. It was probably more enlightening in the sense of realizing the kinds of things.
But the Scottsdale City Council has a reputation, honestly. I've lived out here, God knows how long. And, it has a bit of a reputation sometimes as being rather contentious. There's a lot of divergent opinion on the council, like probably any city council. So you probably have to form allegiances with certain people and based on your opinions on things. Where do you fit into that whole mix?
You know, it's interesting. You're absolutely right. There are a lot of differences of opinions. And, of course, now we're geographically a long and somewhat narrow city, and we have a significant change in both altitude as well as demographics.
So, yeah.
And you've got different points of view, and you've got people that are longtime Scottsdalians and others that are relatively
right.
new. So you've got a lot of different points of view. So, yeah, it does give a real mix as to what some people expect from Scottsdale in the way of growth or no growth or
right.
density or urban or rural settings and, of course, conservation. All those things are real important. Where does it put me? You know,
how do you balance all that?
I have a tendency to try to be as stand on the things that I feel are important for the community on the overall, and to try to explain that to the diverging groups sometimes. Unfortunately, sometimes, and I say this with a certain amount of reverence, because politics are nothing more than really opinions that are expressed in that arena, but to try to sort of get some greater understanding of the politics between the groups. And I think for the most part that's worked out pretty well.
So you're more of a, I guess, sort of a mediator in some ways, right, between different factions.
It does. And when it really comes, when push comes to shove, it's how much you're going to push and how much you're going to shove and how much you're going to give and how much you're going to take.
One of the things that one of the reasons we do the show, quite frankly, is because there's no real forum for people to get to know who serves, for example, as Scottsdale mayor. They may hear your name somewhere, but there's no real detail about it. And just to get to know who you are as a person, and let me just be clear on this. Explain to our listeners, is the mayor selected by the council? Is it separately, or is your office separately elected?
The mayor is selected by the general population, the voters.
So it's a separate election for mayor?
At large. It happens to be that it's an election at the same time as three members of the council, which are staggered. There's three and three on the council in their election process.
Okay.
And the mayor is in one of those cycles. But it is a separate election.
And how long is the term?
It's a four-year term.
Okay, so when you ran in 2009, is that fair?
Well, actually, I ran in what you might say in 2008 and was voted in November of 2008. And then, of course, I signed in and was sworn in January of 2009.
And I take it you're enjoying the job?
Yeah, it has its moments, the dark side moments. But nevertheless, on the overall, it's a great challenge. And it's a
full-time deal for you?
It absolutely is. And that's one of the things I try to explain to my wife sometimes, the fact that, it depends upon how you take it. I take it pretty seriously and try to make sure I'm engaged on the subjects as necessary.
Well, I got to tell our listeners that, I'm impressed by the fact that you came here by yourself. Most politicians come in with staff people and assistants. And you didn't do that. You walked in here casually, and I appreciate that.
Armed guards.
No armed guards. No. Although you're in foreign territory in Phoenix right now.
That's right.
But anyway, all right, so let's talk about your business background and how that helps you as mayor. How do you see that? Everybody has this thing now where they're running for office, and they tout themselves as businessmen, and that somehow translates to helping them in office. Have you found that to be the case?
Well, it would be probably improper for me to say otherwise, but I mean, honestly, I do believe it very, very strongly. In fact, it's one of the reasons I'm sitting here as mayor, because I've really felt that the injection of just business principles and a business approach to a municipal corporation is not that foreign. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a political platform, and there is a different structure on the overall, but frankly, we have a council manager form of government within our charter, and that's something we've done some reforming on to make sure our governance is strong in accountability and transparency and, frankly, in discipline. But the fact is that I think that approach is a very positive one. I like to think about it as being pragmatic and practical. The emphasis needs to be on the kinds of services you're providing and who you're providing them to and what your core functions are and making sure you're staying on track and not getting off track.
And of course, in that financially, sense, it's also. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Let's talk about finances and fiscal condition. What's the state of the fiscal condition of Scottsdale right now in that regard?
You know, there isn't any doubt in my mind that we are second to no one as far as our level of stability and financial condition. And it's born of the fact that we were able to. I initiated what we call the Charter Review Commission of citizens to review our charter and specifically look at certain elements within our governance to make sure we were fine-tuning our disciplines, our accountability, our transparency within the charter. And those were legacy type of issues. And of course, they were voted on by the public, and they were overwhelmingly voted in two different elections because we couldn't fit them all on one ballot. But nevertheless, they were very, very important for the council to be able to take the approach and have the information independent of any bureaucracy to make sure we were getting the information to make decisions.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we're going to take a break in a few seconds here, but one of the things that I think is really noteworthy, Scottsdale obviously has a very big retail base, more than probably some of the other cities I can think
Absolutely.
Of. And of course, now you got North Scottsdale coming online with all kinds of retail, which feeds the city. So you were talking about business development, and this didn't happen by accident. We've got about a minute before the break. Tell me what you're doing that's so successful to attract all these businesses there. Why are they coming there as opposed to other places?
We perfected the platform. I specifically let the businesses know we appreciated it and we were open for business. We were going to change an attitude in City Hall to make sure we were never, or at least at an absolute minimum, to make sure that we were open and that we were above board and we were with them. Right. We were there to work with them, and we created an environment I think was positive.
All right, that's great. We'll come back to that with Mayor Jim Lane from the city of Scottsdale. This is Dennis Wolinchek and Jack Wolinchek on Legalese after these commercial messages.
Don't touch that dial. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Baby Boomers, Home Project, Green Living. It's three expos in one. All happening June 2nd and 3rd at the Home and Life Super Expo. Experience the home and building, Big Green, and Baby Boomer Expos. Shop and enjoy three shows in one and triple your fun for the price of one. The Home and Life Super Expo, sponsored by SRP, June 2nd and 3rd at the Phoenix Convention Center. Discounted tickets and parking coupons at exposaz.com. That's exposaz.com. It's three expos in one.
Hi folks, Greg Schulte here for Legends Cadillac in North Scottsdale. As you all know by now, my favorite baseball saying is, you can touch them all, especially when it's our favorite hometown team. Well, at your favorite hometown team, Legends Cadillac, you can also touch them all. Get behind the wheel of that sporty CTS coupe. Experience the luxury and performance of a truly great car. Check out the outstanding lease program available right now and see for yourself how affordable that Cadillac really is. Not to be outdone is the world's most popular luxury crossover, the SRX. Four different option packages specifically designed for every driver's wants and needs. And rounding third, the Cadillac Escalade. Legends has the best selection in the Western region with factory incentives and great leasing options on every model. Everyone loves a first-place team, and Legends of North Scottsdale is doing it right. Legends, it's like no place else.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
This is Dennis Wolacek on Legalese, and we're here from every Wednesday, 4 to 5, talking about different topics affecting our wonderful place to live here. Of course, today it's not so wonderful, but we're heading into that part of the year. But still, it's better than a lot of other places we could be. And we're here with Mayor Jim Lane talking about Scottsdale. And Mayor Lane, again, thank you for being on the show. And you were talking to us before the break about, you know, the incredible success that Scottsdale really enjoys, and it's not an accident. And, you know, off the air, you were telling me about all these different things happening. Why don't you tell our audience about what's going on in Scottsdale right now in terms of this North Scottsdale burgeoning development and so forth?
Yeah, certainly. And honestly, to just emphasize one thing you just said, and that is it's not by accident.
Right.
Frankly, we've got a long history, a lot of great Scottsdalians that preceded me that have really built a fantastic base. But one thing we were working with coming in is an unprecedented reduction in revenues coming into the city, frankly, business being down, all kinds of pressures as far as services are concerned. And frankly, as a tourism community and a resort community, we couldn't let things go. We couldn't defer a lot of things. So we really had to get more efficient in that. But one of the things that was a strong, strong point that I made early on was not only being open to business and making sure business realized that we appreciated them and we wanted them here, we wanted to create an environment that was going to be positive for them on all levels. Regulation,
that's good.
Taxes, frankly, just the overall.
You know, I
attitude.
Think the Mesa mayor's got that same kind of an attitude, and it's really shown out there, don't you think?
Yeah, I do believe he has. I mean, he's a businessman too,
exactly.
And I think he sees what's important. But I'd beyond that, I'd say
that was a priority of yours coming in.
Oh, absolutely, and in fact. I'd have to say that most of our businesses really did react positively, and I mean stepped up in instances where the city, was having a little bit of a struggle in certain areas of services. They really reacted because we showed that we were on a different line.
So do you actually go out as mayor and court some of these companies and businesses?
I visited almost 75 businesses, CEOs, in the first couple of years I was in office. And the principal reason was not just to tour around and find out who's out there, but what they liked about the city, what we could do to help them in respects to what kind of services or what kind of obstacles we might be creating for them.
Right.
We are completely absent. One of the reforms we were not going to subsidize businesses and pay one business versus another, pick winners or losers, frankly bring somebody in for competition on existing and pay them with taxes that they were recovering from. So we got off of that. And so an awful lot of things that came to the table, immediately that's off the table, and it created an entirely different environment for us. We were negotiating not out of a hole because somebody was saying, how much are you going to give me to come here? We said, hey, that's off the deal. What we're doing is creating the best environment for you.
You know, it's amazing I'll say how human a world it is and how perceptions are so critical in that regard when you're dealing with municipalities. And people do have perceptions that some municipalities are just unfriendly. And you're turning that around out there, obviously.
I think there's two things we probably we've raised a level of maybe sophistication of our business people and business development people in the city of Scottsdale to work with businesses.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to roll over. They're not going to fall victim. But
they're cooperating.
That's right. But they're going to cooperate. Right. And frankly, cooperation begets more cooperation.
Absolutely.
As far as I'm concerned.
I agree with you. Tell me about some of the things going on in Scottsdale. You were saying off the air you've got a medical facility or school or something?
Well, you know, if I were to just real quickly give you a countdown from south to north, you know, and in north in the McDowell Road corridor, you know, which is normally dubbed the South Scottsdale area things, we do have somewhat of a hub with the SkySong, the ASU SkySong, which was meant to be an innovation and incubator. It's morphed into a little bit of a international portal for some businesses, and it's been positive, but a little slow. On being a regenerator for the area. But what we've done really is by encouraging, not by subsidies, by encouraging and promoting and helping to bring people in and to advocate the area, we've got nearly $150 million worth of projects that are being
Because you lost
built.
A lot of the car dealers and so forth along McDowell, right?
And we've had some of them come back, and we've reinvestment in some of those too.
Because it was sort of a little bit of a graveyard there for a while.
It was. And some of them are being transformed into other uses. But I will tell you, as soon as we got one of the first projects, which was $70 million in and of itself, it immediately generated more interest. Interest and investment begets more investment. So that took off.
So that's revitalizing now.
That's exactly right. And I think, and it's doing it organically. It's not because we're throwing money at it or otherwise. Even though we keep a good platform for everybody. I mean, even our infrastructure is good. So we're working with SkySong now, which is...
Because that whole area really is sort of like a transition area. I mean, you've got Tempe, and then you sort of move into this transition area in South Scottsdale. So it's a tough area to deal with, really.
Well, you know, Dennis, you were talking a little bit about the fact that Elman with the Coyotes and all of that. That area was in, you talk about transition for 20 years or a couple decades at least. Well, we're talking the same numbers. But nevertheless, it has been way too laggard and long. And we've invested huge money with SkySong, and I'm talking about the city did, and I was not on for that contract, but we own it now, and I'm for it because there's no other place to be as far as that's concerned. I'm working closely with them as I try to bring businesses internationally into the area as well as others. But that's working well now, and I think it'll continue to grow.
And then what else is the big generator down there? It was Motorola down there?
Motorola, of course, is
they're
not,
gone.
Yeah, so you have General Dynamics there, which was been doing just fine up until, as you know, sort of contraction on the military side.
Right.
There's been some layoffs there, and they're contracting. But still a great employer in the area. And
But, I mean, it's so vastly different, that area, than the northern part of your city. I mean, it's just night and day, really.
Well, we like to talk about it as almost being the original part of Scottsdale. Yeah. So, I mean, if it's nothing else, it's older.
Right.
And it's a different kind of,
but, you know, it is revitalizing now. I just had breakfast down there with my daughter at the little coffee shop, you know, on Scottsdale Road there near the gallery you used to be. And I was looking at it, and it's really coming back.
Well, now we're moving up the pike already. When you talk about the gallery is now at 99%.
Yeah, that's further north, sure.
99% of occupancy, and with mostly technology companies.
Yeah.
We've got Yelp in there. We've got CA Technologies in there. We got McKesson in
there. Yeah,
that's
a real turnaround.
It's been a phenomenal turnaround.
Yeah.
And, you know, frankly, even that success brings a little bit of things that we have to adjust to. As I tell staff, we need to manage success. I'd far rather be struggling with success than be struggling with failure.
Talk to me a little bit about, we'll come to these other areas, but talk to me a little bit about that airport situation.
Sure.
What is that intended to be in the future?
Well, you know what?
Right now it's just a private deal, but there's really no commercial planes going out of there?
That's right. That's right and it's wrong, but I'll explain the difference.
Yeah.
So I actually ran an airline for a number of years. I was a president of an airline, a regional airline, and frankly, I started the first commercial airline service out of Scottsdale, 1987. But it only lasted for a couple of years for a number of reasons. But nevertheless,
what was the name of that?
The airline, we were a U.S. Air code share, a U.S. Air Express carrier, but it was States West.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
But
States West, yeah.
Yeah, States West was the regional airline, but we were the code share for U.S. Air at the time.
Because you still got the terminal there and all that. So.
Oh, yeah. In fact, to tell you the truth, it is one of the most successful general aviation airports in the country.
Yeah.
We just had a group in from Texas, Addison, Texas, that wanted to know what our secret was to making this kind of airport.
Because, I mean, you redone the airport so that now it can handle heavier loads and so forth.
Well, actually, we are doing some rework on the on the actual capacity of loads, but nevertheless, one of the major changes that we made was to a city code that restricted the kind of takeoff weight that you could have.
Right.
And that was at 75,000 pounds, but through some great use of our Airport Advisory Commission and the city and the city staff, we were able to get that moved up and the FAA to approve 100,000 pounds, which gives us now the capacity to be dealing with international biz jets and aircraft from Asia and from Europe.
Okay.
Directly in. And we also changed it so that we now have a port of entry with the customs service. So
but there might be an opportunity down the road where you might have some commercial flights like scheduled, some of the other airports. Like
scheduled carriers are probably not on the horizon for us. What we do now is the FAA, and I was pretty close to this kind of situation for a number of years, is they have a bit of a hybrid between charter and scheduled charters. And there are some.
Yeah.
There is quite a bit of that. And then, of course, fractional aircraft rentals and, of course, private.
Because, I mean, it's got to be tough going out to Mesa or even to the Phoenix Airport for a lot of people in Scottsdale.
Yeah, and one of the big things for the air park, which is around the airport, is that we have the ability of what they call through-the-fence operations. So most of the businesses have have ways to get in onto the airport through the fence.
Oh, yeah, the access.
And given our level of security and everything else, it's been quite an interesting
cool.
It's an interesting thing that we're able
to do.
All
right, so what are some of the priorities that you have for the city? What would your dream be in the next couple of years to see changing in Scottsdale, if anything?
Well, one of the things that we're right now in the midst of it, I think, is a priority for us for a lot of reasons, because tourism is still an important aspect for us on a lot of things.
And updating, I guess.
Yeah. But is our preserve, land for conservation. And one of the things I initiated when I came in was to get out of a brain freeze over using shared dollars from this Growing Smarter grant funds. We never use them in a 10-year program. 7 years we never used them. The city of Phoenix did. But I insisted that we get on that program. We put together a strategic plan, and in the meantime, we've purchased over 50% more land, 7,000 acres in the last 3 years, and saved $62 million doing it.
So instead of more development, you're saying one of the priorities would be less development?
Well,
maybe.
We've already got the area designated. It's a matter of getting it all connected and completed. So this year, we're going to be purchasing another 6,400 acres and probably using shared dollars for the last time that'll even be available. That's a big issue, because ecotourism has become a functional part of the Scottsdale's
product.
Experience.
Well, you know, when we come back, we're going to have to take the news break right now. But when we come back, I'm going to ask you about some of the developments and some of the things that have come into Scottsdale that I didn't give you a chance to really fully explain. And, you know, some of these apartment complexes. Mm-hmm. I see the swimming pool clubs going on. And I mean, Scottsdale's a swinging town. I mean, it's happening down there, right? Really?
Well, it is. And, in fact, you know, we're working with new demographics. We talked, I'm not sure if it was on air or off, about the different kinds of approaches and thought process in the various elements of our population. But we've got a whole new era of young professionals and technologists that are looking for a bit different.
Including my daughter. So when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about all that. This is Dennis Wolinchek and Jack Wolinchek on Legalese, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
News Radio, I'm Veronica Dela Cruz. The Obama administration is adding new sanctions to a Syrian bank, saying the goal is to economically strangle the regime of President Bashar al-Assad. Meanwhile, U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice told NBC's Andrea Mitchell today that U.N. efforts in Syria have not been without value.
The reason why this is not a waste and why it has been a wise effort, even if it proves ultimately to be futile, is because the alternative is the scenario I described of all-out violence, a war that engulfs Syria and the neighbors in the region.
More concerns about the debt crisis in Europe had an impact on Wall Street today. The Dow was off 161 points. As many as 900 colleges around the U.S. are pushing students to use payment cards that carry hefty fees, sometimes even to get their financial aid money. That's according to a report released by a public interest group. If you want to close your bank account, it could cost you. Consumers Union says it can cost up to $55 to close an account at the country's 10 largest banks. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio. Arizona State Representative Ben Arredondo was arraigned in federal court today. He was nabbed in an FBI sting operation while serving as a Tempe city councilman. His attorney, Lee Stein, says he was targeted by the feds.
What you're going to see is a dedicated public servant who was targeted by the federal government in D.C.
A Phoenix police officer on routine patrol saw a man running from a convenience store. He pursued the suspected robber, was fired at but not hit. The suspect was found at a nearby home, Sergeant Tommy Thompson.
We were able to take him into custody without incident. This individual, DeAndre Works, is now in the Maricopa County Jail. He's been charged with armed robbery, aggravated assault, and misconduct involving weapons.
Good news on the Gladiator and Sunflower fires. They are apparently nearly controlled, not posing a threat to any more residences. This is Arizona News Radio.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of the 99-cent only store. We do have a closure in Casa Grande, westbound I-10 at Highway 287. Also, you're going to find some stop-and-go traffic on the 143 southbound from University through Broadway. And we have an accident eastbound I-10 at 40th Street. Get ready to have fun in the sun with 99-cent only stores. Pick up bright-colored inflatable beach balls, swim rings, and arm floaties for only 99.99 cents each. Here is your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, we wrap up the month of May tomorrow in a hot way, 107 degrees. And we bring in the month of June on Friday, 110. Upcoming weekend, a bit cooler, 103 to 104. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we're at 99 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
This is Ron Sherman for Pure Ion. Now, that's a name you've never heard before, but let me tell you, Pure Ion is the economical way to keep your pool water clean and healthy without using chlorine or harmful chemicals. Pure Ion is a must in commercial pools and hospitals, as well as private backyard pools like yours. The Pure Ion system simplifies pool maintenance. It uses sanitizing ions, which are injected into your pool. These ions are 100% active, controlling bacteria and algae while balancing the pH level and alkalinity. There's no salt, no residue, just beautiful, clear, clean water. Check out Pure Ion at pureionh2o.com. That's pureionh2o.com. Check out the revolutionary system that I use in my pool. For pure, clean water, check out pureionh2o.com. That's pureionh2o.com.
Did you know short sales can erase all home loan debt?
Don't walk away. Many banks and the government now pay sellers to complete short sales.
I'm Rick Elton.
And I'm Dave Elton. Elton Realty has served the Valley for over 15 years.
Every short sale is different. Outcomes are not guaranteed.
Call for a free consultation that best serves your situation and get a fresh start today.
480-451-3318. That's 480-451-3318.
Or visit eltonrealty.com.
Well, this is Dennis Willinchek and Jack Willinchek on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5, Independent Talk, News Radio, 1100 KFNX. And we have Scottsdale Mayor Jim Lane with us for the hour. And Mayor, there's so many different topics, but one of the things that we were talking about before we broke was this whole luxury apartment complex concept that's going on right now that's real hot. And I think, if my memory serves me correctly, driving down, I think it was Lincoln, if I'm not mistaken, I think there's a big project going on near the Fashion Square now, right? Or a couple of them, maybe.
Yeah, actually, well, a couple planned and one's actually in process.
Yeah, there's a big change for the city. So you're taking a lot of heat, I gather, as a mayor over this, because there's always people that are complaining about anything that's going on. So what's your position on this? Obviously, you must have voted for this kind of change. Is this a good thing?
I believe it is. I mean, we have nearly $1 billion worth of investment in downtown now, which constitutes downtown. And part of it includes some significant investments in what the market is demanding right now. We've got a new demographic of young people who are not looking to buy a home, the 22 to 32 group.
Yeah, or people that have been foreclosed on, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People who can't buy a home. But nevertheless, there is a new demographic, and there's even a choice to be made there. And an awful lot of this is going to fill in the need for the young professionals who want to live and work downtown. And
I can't see that but anything but a win-win. I mean, you've got a luxury place replacing something that was old and kind of junky. You've got a feeder, basically, for the Fashion Square and also for the Fifth Avenue area there, right, of young people that, you know, go out and spend money.
Well, and, you know, for years we've had the issue that our downtown shopping district, the Old Town area, has been in want for people to be down there. And we say, well, we'll send visitors down there. But if there's nobody walking around, it's a tough thing to sell the second time. So it's
that's the biggest thing I hear from people out of state, that, you know, you go downtown Phoenix, it's dead. Is the thing I get. Scottsdale has a little more life to it, really. People are walking around more, and that's one of the problems in downtown Phoenix.
And as I tell the merchants, you know, the best that the city can do is to promote an environment that you're going to have people around,
yeah, exactly.
Tourists as well as other residents. I mean, right. they're going to bring each other. And I said, well, once they get down there, it's up to you to sell
your
product.
You know, Scottsdale has a great reputation. It's a vibrant area. It really is a very progressive city in many ways. So, I mean, it's got a lot going for it, really. What are you looking at, though, as I was saying earlier, into the future? I mean, in terms of the image of the city and how you as mayor are going to guide the development of the city, where's it going? Is it going up north more?
Well, to the extent, obviously, that a mayor has that capacity to do that. I mean, by thought or
power of persuasion.
Direction, yeah, exactly. Really, one of the things, and I probably ought to at least mention this too, is our general plan, which is really the vision of our community on land uses and a variety of other things that we're looking to make sure we're in tune with. But I would say that one of the things that has been somewhat of a guiding principle as far as going into the future, we are a city of tourism, and we are very dependent upon that, and it's created a tremendous environment for us. We're using that environment to attract a wide variety of businesses, and specifically into the biotech and biomedical fields. And now on Shea Boulevard with the somewhat unofficial establishment of the Cure Corridor with a Mayo and TGen and with Scottsdale Healthcare and with CVS Caremark and with West Pharmaceutical and a variety
of
other.
It's unbelievable what you've done there, yeah.
And it's all been organic for the very, very most part. So it's been a nice development. But that is an important kind of additional business to have for the future of Scottsdale. I'd love to say that, and I think in my lifetime, certainly, tourism will always be an important part.
Yeah.
But you just never know when that might, you know, you're going to need to have another.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, as you said, that I remember as a kid we used to go out tubing, you know, on because we lived in Scottsdale. You know, but we'd go down Shea, and you go tubing, you know, on the river years ago. You remember this? And when I first moved out here, and there was like nothing out there. You know, we lived on Miller Road, and past that, there was like nothing. Today, it's like totally infilled right up to the beeline, right? I mean, it's just total between Mayo and all the different companies that have built buildings. It's unrecognizable, really.
Well, you're right, and I don't remember exactly what years. Well, I know when I was out here, I actually came out in 71, but going tubing and everything,
all the
signs to save our desert and those kinds of things.
Right.
And it was a two-lane road,
and
it was it really was nothing. It is transformed immensely with residential and housing stock, with businesses, all manner of city facilities, whether it's senior centers or other things, and of course churches and schools.
Yeah.
And
it really is incredible to go down there. Now, you mentioned Mayo. Of course, Jack here donated a kidney to my wife, so they were in Mayo for a little while, so I got familiar with that area. But that's another incredible find for the city. I mean, that's a world-class facility right in your city. That they can't do better than that.
Oh, it absolutely is. And, you know, one of the things in talking with your Mayor Stanton here in Phoenix, and that
I don't live in Phoenix. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Well, I guess because we're sitting here,
right.
in Phoenix, I'll leave it at that.
Right. But, he may lock the door after this. But
there's he's got an awful lot of, I think, interest in expanding these same kind of biomedical and biotechnology companies just the west of Scottsdale Road, which in some places carries a Scottsdale address, but
is
actually in Phoenix. But in any case, we're working together.
Well, you know, while we're on that, let's talk about that whole issue with that North Scottsdale corridor there, where the car dealerships have basically moved up north now, right?
Yeah.
That was that whole – what was the name of that development that you had out there? It was part Phoenix, part Scottsdale.
Well,
City North or something?
Oh, well, no, City North is entirely a Phoenix.
Yeah, what's the name of the one
It's further, a little bit further to the west. But One Scottsdale was if you know where the Henkel building is, that's on the southern end of One Scottsdale's development there.
Right.
And so it's moving forward. Now, I've just heard just recently, because that was meant to be somewhat reflective of the kind of thing Kierlin is and mixed use and that. But I think they're at least considering a different application for that may be more appropriate, maybe even more viable right now. If you remember across the street, there was a development at a point in time that was going to be in Phoenix.
Right.
Pristine? No, I don't think it was Pristine. Palestine or something like
that.
There was another development. I don't know what's become of that. But on our side, DMB still has One Scottsdale. South of that, a state land just sold to a partnership group that are likely to put in, and again, I'm not speaking with absolute firmness on this, but probably possibly a hotel, maybe car dealerships in that area there, just south of the 101 and moving to the east.
But, I mean, you're starting to see now people showing interest now in development again. We were there for a while where people were just basically announcing projects and then, you know, nothing would ever happen because of the economy. Now you're starting to see re-interest in that area. Yeah,
absolutely. I think Scottsdale has, for a lot of reasons, and a lot of them of what we've been able to accomplish with our governance and with our financial position on things, has really created an environment that, if nothing else, businesses and individuals, equity and debt, see Scottsdale as a stable, solid community.
Any big major project that's in the works right now that you see happening in the next year or so?
There are a couple, and frankly, some of them really are on a little bit of a – now, there's a couple of that big projects that have already been approved that may be looking – Blue Sky is one of them, which is downtown Scottsdale.
What is that?
That is going to be a mixed use, but primarily an apartment building.
Okay.
Right there on Camelback and north of Camelback on Scottsdale Road, opposite Fashion Square.
Okay.
There's a project just north of that that's being contemplated that really isn't open for discussion.
Yeah, that area is still pretty hot.
But there's a lot of interest in the area.
Yeah.
You're probably familiar with Camelview Optima, which is the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Yeah.
But that is a building that has won numerous awards, AIA awards.
Is there more something planned along the canal? Are you going to use the canal more?
Well, Blue Sky is going to back up to the canal.
See.
So it's going to actually re-vegetate.
Will that ever be like an area where people can walk, you know, for a distance? Yeah.
The intent is to bring it all the way downtown to the waterfront, where that is. You know, give us a ditch with water in it. We've got beachfront gardens, beachfront property. But in any case.
So that is being developed.
Yes, that is being developed too. So those are some big ones. And Mark Taylor took over somewhat of a blighted old commercial shopping center east of SkySong and putting in $70 million worth of apartment complex there, but high-end apartment complex.
That's more in South Scottsdale.
David Hovey Jr. on 68th Street in Camelback is building somewhat similar to Camelview Optima. And that's going to be a fantastic new project.
Unbelievable. Okay, well, we'll be back talking to Mayor Lane from Scottsdale. This is Dennis Wilenchek and Jack Wilenchek on 1100 KFNX.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
How would you like to put your troubles with the IRS behind you? If you are behind on your taxes, don't try negotiating with the IRS alone. The IRS can take advantage of taxpayers who don't know the law or collection procedures. Ameristar's team of enrolled agents, tax professionals, and CPAs with master's degrees in taxation can go to work to protect you from paying too much. Get fast relief with Ameristar Tax Centers. Once the proper paperwork is filed, Ameristar will deal with the IRS directly so you don't have to. Plus, Ameristar Tax Center is a certified member of the Tax Freedom Institute. We know your rights. We know the secrets to getting you maximum savings. Get real tax relief by calling for a free, no-obligation consultation. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-761-7056. If the IRS is garnishing your wages or sending threatening letters, we can help. Call now. 800-761-7056. 800-761-7056.
Get the kitchen you've always dreamed of. American-made maple cabinets and countertops delivered and installed for a 10x11 kitchen, only $29.95. That is $1,500 off the list price. Creative Kitchens, specializing in kitchen and bath remodeling since 1994. Call Creative Kitchens to get started on your new American-made kitchen today. Call 602-550-7620. That's 602-550-7620. 602-550-7620.
Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX.
I'm hiding in Honduras.
Dennis Wilenchek and Jack Wilenchek on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX with Mayor Jim Lane from Scottsdale. And we've been talking all kinds of different issues that pop into our heads here. But, Mayor, you know, at the end of the day, Scottsdale, as I said earlier, has a world-class reputation. And of course, you've only made it better, frankly, while you've been there, you know, at the helm. And we were talking a little bit off the air, and I want our listeners to share in some of this. Some of the exciting things that are really coming online, we were talking about before the break, but you were also describing off the break that some things are happening, for example, like at the, what is it, Horse World? Or
right. Yeah, it's a Westworld.
Westworld.
And one of the things that we've been working on for the last couple of years, at very least, was our equestrian center. It used to be called our Equidome, and we are now in the midst, and we have modified it to be a multi-use facility and have modified it to make sure that it is able to accommodate Barrett Jackson.
So no more tent.
Well, there probably will be extension tents, but there will no longer be that large
tent. Right.
Eventually,
right.
We're getting ready to reskin it. We'll save a few million dollars just in not doing that. But that'll go away. And frankly, it makes it more Scottsdale event.
Right.
So that's a huge new investment. And as I was saying, it's $41 million. And we've been able to fund that in some very unique ways. We did not have to put this on a general obligation bond. We did not have to tax our citizens for it. We ended up, by design, by something we put together some time ago, when we amended and adjusted the bed tax receipts, and taking a good portion of that to support debt service on tourism-related infrastructure. And your question was to me, what exactly does that mean? And that really essentially means that any kind of infrastructure we need to build to support our tourism industry, and inclusive of something like the Equidome and now the Equestrian Center, we're going to use those funds to support debt bonding on that. And we were given that authority by the public. So this is entirely transparent. But they've given us the authority, which we need to use in a very judicious way, but nevertheless, we're looking at a museum of the West downtown Scottsdale. We're looking
at that all about? I read about that.
That's been going on for a lot of years, but it really has had a difficult time until which time as we came upon way to fund it. And we're looking at that right downtown, just south of the gallery district. We think the museum down there will be a nice enhancement between the Scottsdale Museum of Art and the gallery district in downtown. So it's if the location is of interest, it's north of Osborne, south of Indian School, and east of Goldwater.
Okay.
In that area there. So it's going to be, I think that's out to be worked and to be put together right now. We probably should be on that. That's not on the books quite yet, but it's in
good
stead.
Might come online in the next few years.
We're hoping that it'll be online in the next year.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing downtown. The Equidome, as I said, or the Equestrian Center is a big thing for Westworld. We're looking at some other projects in Westworld. You may know that aside from the city's tourism issues, the ice den added a third sheet of ice. And now they're the largest ice skating rink in the state, which may not sound like a formidable accomplishment.
But the Coyotes use that for practice.
They do. Yeah. They do. And frankly, it has become a huge amenity for the neighborhood.
Right.
I mean, for teams and restaurants and all kinds of facilities within that. So it's really become a nice one. Across the street from it, actually, we own 600 acres that we bought at the height of the pricing wars as far as land was concerned a few years back. And we're working right now to put it to use.
Of course, you've got the open there every year, right, which is a major.
That's down the street. In fact, that's going to become another entertainment type of corridor from the preserve, the ice den in Westworld, and across the street.
You're going to tie them all together?
We're looking at things, and we've got a master plan to put some of this together. You move down the street, of course, you come into the sports complex, if you're familiar with that, and the TPC, and then, of course, even moving right over to the Princess. That whole corridor is developing into another full area, and it's got great access right there at the turn on the 101. So.
Yeah, I mean, one of the wonderful things is for people to be able to, I think, to walk around in areas like you have that near the Fashion Square and Fifth Avenue tied in together now. You know, it's kind of a wonderful thing for people to be able to just leave their car somewhere and just stroll around. And, you know, that's why I was asking earlier about the waterfront. And so all that, again, is being tied in together where people can just stroll and
Well, you know what's been an amazing kind of thing when we talk about transportation in downtown, and there's been a lot of talk about various things that we should or shouldn't do.
You got those trolleys or something.
Yeah, we have trolleys, but what a sort of a springboard little entrepreneurial type of transportation mode is our pedicabs. I'm not sure
yeah,
if you're
no,
familiar
those,
with that,
yeah.
But you know, a number of ASU students, or so it seems, but students, you know, get themselves even put one together, and they got a pedicab, and they're driving people a few blocks for tips only, and it's worked out. Like
is that
a
how
charm.
That works? I never really asked.
And it works.
I was always
like
kind of shy of it for that reason. You know, you get off and somebody asks for a $20 bill, so it's just tips.
And frankly, you know, people are thankful to have it. They may not want to walk in high heels from even three or four or five blocks.
You know, I got to ask you while we're on that. I read today in the papers, if I recall correctly, something about the extension of the light rail into Mesa.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that. That's being scheduled right now. Scottsdale's never signed on for any of that. Why not? What's the deal there?
Their major concern is a couple, twofold. Number one, we are a big player in the Mag Prop 400 monies. We only recovered 23 cents on any dollar we submitted. It's reason because we're highly retail, a sales
right.
tax. We contribute far more than our population would allow, and frankly, we just get less back.
Yeah.
So in a very real sense, we've paid a lot for light rail.
Right.
But we're not in the program until 2025. Well, it goes to 2025. We're not in the program.
Why not?
For any of that money, because it was a Glendale, Phoenix, Mesa route.
But is that something that Scottsdale didn't want to be involved in? Or?
Well, I'd have to say after the Prop 400 monies were sort of allocated and we found ourselves in that position, there was a lot of talk about whether we should go ahead. And some people were saying we should finance it ourselves. Well, it's a little bit of a difficult situation in the sense that we paid so much in for others to pay for then us go out and...
I'm just kind of curious while we're on that. Why wasn't Scottsdale included in that?
Well, part of the reason, frankly, is that that's not what was part of the original line. Now, even the original line had to get cut back because of the downturn in the economy.
Yeah.
Those sales tax even
yeah.
dried up. But we weren't part of it. But as it came to us, there was a large element, and I'd have to say myself included, that was very concerned that our major transportation corridor is Scottsdale Road.
Right.
Scottsdale Road has become an iconic road for us. I mean, it's not... It would be taking two lanes of traffic out of it. It would be stopping all our left-hand turn lanes, or an awful lot of them, other than major intersections.
That's true. Unless you had sort of a monorail type
thing. It's $80 million a mile, and we frankly do not have the kind of – we can't justify it. Now, a lot of talk about transit-oriented development. Well, City of Scottsdale, a lot of folks and PV folks really aren't interested in transit-oriented development and what it might bring to the community all the way up to the 101. So there's been some talks maybe of shorter distances even to Skystone and that kind of thing. But it's not been a big player.
In Scottsdale traditionally, I mentioned this to you earlier, I mean, they always traditionally like to be able to park right where they go. That was the old thing in Scottsdale. Now, that's changed in reality. But still, there's an element to that. People like to, you know, park for free, and you said the parking is free there. And so what is on the horizon transportation-wise in Scottsdale looking down the road?
Really, it's maybe a short-term solution, but we've actually instituted a little bit of our own bus system and some of the trolleys in that, and they're all free. And so we have, in our areas of concentration, it's worked out fairly well. You know, I'm going to go a little bit off on a sidebar here and just say that I'm currently the chairman for the Transportation Policy Committee for MAG.
Okay.
And one of the things that I've asked really for us to re-explore is commuter rail, which has been tied in with hard rail, Union Pacific and Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really respond to the real answer to the questions of where our outlying districts and areas might be that might want to come into the inner city or into Scottsdale or anywhere. But we already have mass transit corridors right now, and they're called our freeway system. And we have and own that right of way. We could actually entertain, and I've asked it, and I'm going to continue to pursue
this. Yeah, it's always perplexed me why our state hasn't moved forward in this area. I really have.
Well, of even getting maglev or even now a monorail, something in that existing, taking it off the freeway, it'd be convenient, it'd be fast, and you could feed it into a lesser in the sense of a lesser transit system within the cities to take it from there, like our trolleys. You know,
yeah, I mean, I say thank God that I don't live in the East Valley. You know, coming into work, I see sometimes when I go on that freeway, it's incredible to me how people can put up with that every day.
Well, and another thing, what I just was mentioning, it answers a number of questions, and one of them is you can't continue to expand the freeway system.
Right.
And you know,
there's just so much you can do. All right, so we've got about a minute or so left, and we have not touched on most of the areas I had here to ask you. As I said, it goes by so quickly. But I will ask you, as I ask many of my guests, looking in the future, what's in store for Mayor Jim Lane?
Well, right now I'm running for re-election, so I mean that's.
Oh, is that time already up?
Yeah, that's exactly okay. Right.
Is anybody running against you?
Yeah, there are a couple that I've sort of.
Non-partisan.
It is a nonpartisan race, yeah. So there's no DRR that's indicated on the ballot, but a lot of people ask, but nevertheless.
No primary situation.
Well, frankly, the way we changed our election process, we now do have a primary. We are aligned with the state and federal. Primary and general election.
Okay.
But it ends up where we have, if you have more than two in the mayor's race, if you have more than two, you'll have a primary. And two will go forward to the general.
All right. Well, Mayor Jim Lane, thank you for being on our show today. It was very helpful and enlightening. We'll have you on again now that we know you're running for office. And hopefully everybody out there will give you a vote and a nod. And we wish you the best. And again, appreciate you being here today with us on Legalese.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.
Attention pool owners, did you know that chlorine will crack and fade vinyl pool liners and that salt water corrodes furniture, metal fences, and kills plants and grass around your pool? InTech America's copper ionization technology offers pool owners a healthy and cheaper alternative to chlorine or salt water. You can enjoy a chemical and chlorine-free pool while saving time and money, protecting your investment. Copper ionization will save you 70% on your water care cost and time. Swim in water that's chlorine and chemical-free with a technology that offers 19 very important benefits. Installation and maintenance is quick and easy, and you'll never be frustrated again. Call InTech today and have healthy water in your pool. They're so confident that you'll love their systems that they'll offer a money-back guarantee. Give InTech a call today at 800-896-1759. That's 800-896-1759. Or visit their website at InTechAmerica.com. InTech's ionized pools. Never go to the pool store again.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Laura Ingraham, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. It's 5 o'clock.